From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based mobile technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today, there are many factors at play driving the geospatial industry. We're going to look at what we believe are some of the key business drivers that we believe you need to be aware of. We'll look at whether these could be a technology, a particular vendor, a global initiative, or geography. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Save Software. Transform spatial data to use and share. Only FME gives you unlimited flexibility to restructure, reformat, and integrate data in more than 250 formats. Solve more interoperability headaches more easily with FME. Learn how at askfme.com.
Do you know who or what is driving the geospatial industry? In this podcast, we want to reflect on whom and perhaps to what degree these factors may be influencing the growth of the geospatial market sector. Let me give you some examples before we move to specifics. I want you to take a minute to think about whether the driver is a major IT player, and I won't name any names here right now, but just think about it. It could be a specific initiative, and here the only clue I will offer is something like National Spatial Data Infrastructure, and you can fill in the blank as to what level you think that could be. Maybe it's a specific region of the world or a state or whatever. So just think about that. The driver could be the economy, or it could be geographically located in a particular region. It could be an industry professional organization. So give that some thought as we're going through some of the specifics of what we want to identify here. When you think about any one particular driver, you'll invariably question whether that in and of itself could make a substantial impact. And maybe it has a limited sphere of influence, but influence it indeed has. So while you're giving this some thought, we're going to dive into about four or five possible drivers. Some may surprise you. I hope they do. Neither of us, as we usually do, know what the other is going to say, so it should make for a fairly lively discussion. So, Adina, I'm going to take the first pass at this. And one of the key business drivers for geospatial technology, both now and in the future, is what I would call location analytics. And one of the big hurdles to adoption, I think, that geospatial technology has had, that I perceive, is the inability to get beyond the pretty picture of a map. And it's not as if we haven't had true analytical capabilities before. What I'm suggesting is that it is much more important today to demonstrate analytical power. So a few things come to mind. The rise of business intelligence solutions outside the geospatial technology sector, and now more commonly the term business analytics. And this is a term I've come across recently in my Google searches, that it's just exploded for some reason or another. So there seems to be this rush toward making geospatial technology fit into the mold of BI, that's business intelligence. And all geospatial vendors want to play in the larger IT sandbox. So we want to see spatial analytics integrated with other forms of business analytics. And we are also seeing some of the traditional companies emphasizing analytics. Case in point, GeoEye, the satellite data company, purchased SpaceDAC. The resulting division is called GeoEye Analytics. Now, let me read you some of the marketing hype from SpaceDAC website, because I think it's very instructive. SpaceDAC employs highly skilled analysts from numerous key market sectors who are experienced in integrating geospatial, human terrain, sociocultural, behavioral, and human factor subdisciplines and identifying key factors in the most challenging problem sets, unquote. Now, this does not sound like a data company talking. This sounds like a full-service business solutions provider using analytics as a differentiator. Okay, so that's one. And let me just give another brief example. I'll note Ralta. Ralta is a company who had previously been positioned as a data conversion company. Well, they've made some purchases recently. OneGIS and the utilities company, Tusk, an Oracle BI shop, Orion Technology for general GIS, and then they licensed technology from PCI Geomatics for remote sensing. This is huge because Ralta is now competing with Esri, and Hexagon, and Ralta used to be a big partner of Intergraph. So, to me, that's just a huge red flag. And just a final example, on the other side of the spectrum, you have Google offering basic analysis through Fusion Tables. So location analytics, that's my first one, Adina. What do you think of that?
Let me start by saying I didn't fully understand that because I don't speak location analytics, and I think then you called it spatial analytics. So who is buying these services? Is it like Walgreens trying to answer the question, where do we put the new Walgreens?
I think it's a variety of companies. I think it could be the retailing environment or a business environment. I think it could be the defense industry. I think that some of these analytical programs are more geared towards integrating a lot of different types of spatial technology and spatial data. So I would offer that as one of the things that I think is a driver.
Okay, so you're saying sort of the mere existence of these companies offering these services and these companies acquiring other companies to put them in a better position to offer such services is in fact driving the use of such services by, as you suggested, the retail sector and defense intelligence kinds of things.
Yeah, I do.
So just the fact that they're out there marketing these services is driving use of them.
I think that people are looking for a differentiator. I think that this is one of those things that that the industry is hanging their hat on, is some differentiator like analytics. I think we have to move beyond the pretty maps, and I think this is the way that people are looking to acquire solutions.
Wow, well, I think they've still got a big job ahead of them, because let's face it, an awful lot of what's going on out there is just the pretty maps.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Fusion Tables right now is, for most people, making pretty maps.
But behind the scenes of Fusion Table is a couple of, I guess I would say, canned analytical capabilities. And I think once you explore those, even as canned as they are, that's a differentiator. So
It is, but I think the marketing for that differentiator and the marketing for the analytics and the return on investment on those analytics is still quite a challenge.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'm gonna take this to way the other side of the planet, which helps people understand the different ways that you and I look at the world. And I'm gonna say one of the driving factors driving geospatial is the public, us regular people, because our expectations have changed so much over the past 6-7 years. I'm going back to about when Google Maps launched. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we expect everything. We expect maps everywhere. We expect the data to be up to date. We expect the data to be accurate. And we get really, really upset when it's not. Case in point, last week here in the U.S., we launched the National Broadband Map. And I have in front of me a reflection on that map by Troy Wolverton, writing in the San Jose Mercury News. He's actually a columnist, and this actually is in the business section. And he goes on about the map, and it has some inaccuracies. And then he says, those aren't the only problems. At least the day it launched, the map was slow to load. The map didn't provide an easy way to zoom in on a particular region and see different data highlighted. And it isn't really interactive. For example, it will show you visually where you can find service providers who offer access of 50 megabits or greater, but you can't click on those areas to see who the provider is or what precise areas they serve. Also, you won't find information on pricing. The FCC has said that one of the biggest factors hindering broadband adoption is price, yet no pricing information is provided on the site. And he goes on, but that tells me that we, the users, whether we're going to a government site like this one or to the Walmart website to find the local store and get directions to it, our expectations have just jumped. And I think that has an awful lot to do with investments in geospatial, both on the private sector side, the retail side, and on the government services side.
Well, without a doubt, our expectations have radically changed, both from the introduction of the basic navigation systems 10 years ago all the way to now, where we expect to see good information presented on a map, when something as basic as not having the map load quickly enough upsets people, it means that where our expectations have radically changed, even so much as what we're seeing now on mobile devices. We want things to be easy. We want to get that location information immediately. And to some degree, we want to be the passive participant in some of that information, because we want it even easier than it was. So I think that's a good point. The next one I want to tackle is what I would simply say in one word is geography, and even more specific, Asia. I think Asia is a huge driver from several perspectives, and my view is going to be biased, having visited India 3 times in the last 4 years. The country is not only expanding its geospatial capabilities through professional development and education, it's outsourcing some of this talent to other countries. The infrastructure projects in India and other Asian countries, I think, is just a boon for geospatial technology companies. And for example, Hexagon, their stated reason for acquiring Intergraph last year was to get a toehold in selling digital cameras into the Chinese market. With U.S. and European markets stalled due to the economy, which you could argue is also a huge business driver in itself, I think solution providers are looking at Asia. So that's my second big driver.
I do believe that growth in sort of physical infrastructure drives geospatial, but I'm not sure how much. I had the sense when we went through the whole Recovery Act thing here in the United States, and I think a lot of people did, that money was going to trickle down to GIS shops and GIS software companies and so forth. But I never got the sense that it did. So I guess I'm still struggling with how much of that money goes to the engineering, the construction side, and how much of it really does go to geospatial.
Well, I think if you took the U.S., I think you're right. I don't think it trickled down to the extent that people thought. But if you look at Asia, I think there is difference there. And unfortunately, we don't have a good understanding of what's happening in China and some of the Southeast Asian countries, because we just don't follow that market. And I think it would be particularly difficult to follow China anyway. But you can rest assured that the Chinese are investing a lot in geospatial technology. And I think that is contributing to them being a much more efficient developer of infrastructure projects. And I see that happening in India, and maybe even more broadly. What's happening in India has to do a lot with politics and their opening up of data in general, the availability of data and how to acquire data. And I think that is driving geospatial within that market segment itself, which really is a large market when you consider everything that is being done there. And then again, we don't have a great handle on some of the other Asian countries, but all of them are experiencing huge increases in gross domestic product, which is a lot funneled from infrastructure projects. So I also think that you're seeing companies like an Autodesk, for example, benefit from the growth in Asia just because of the need for basic infrastructure software solutions.
Okay, and I think I've made the suggestion before that maybe some of that is going on in those countries and not here in the United States, because in a sense they're skipping directly to using GIS, whereas we're sort of evolving into using GIS, and that makes it harder for us to make that leap. The other driver I want to highlight is kind of subtle, and it's the giant databases of location information that are being put together with and without our knowledge. And what I'm thinking of are all these databases that we freely share when we share our location with say, a Foursquare or a Gowalla or something like that, and those kinds of pieces of information that we share when we use Twitter, whether we explicitly say we're at a location or not. And all of this is turning into these giant databases about us as individuals and about us as groups, different kinds of groups based on where we live and a few other things. And I think once we gather enough of this data and we figure out what to do with it to turn it into something that we can make money off of, that is going to drive a lot of geospatial. Right now, I think we're still in the collection phase, and we're still in the phase of what do we do with it? How do we mine it? We're still figuring those kinds of things out, but I think that's going to be a big driver in the next 4 or 5 years. So we see one of the, sort of the early pokes into that space is Skyhook's tool for sort of managing that kind of data and trying to take advantage of it to see what areas are sort of hot or not.
Well, I guess my thought on that is I'm not quite sure it's a driver today. I think your comment that it would be in 4 to 5 years is certainly true. The whole issue of big data sets obviously will be huge, and I just think back to our conversation with Jeff Jonas from IBM. I mean, he was all over big data and how you capture and analyze large, constantly pinging data sets, and how you extract useful information from something that's happening in real time, which is, I think, maybe some of the crux of what you're addressing. I think real-time data analysis is the key, because of all of this information that is being poured into databases, how do you get that information and put it into a usable form, closing the gap between gathering, analyzing, and making some decision from it? I do think that's a real critical factor. I'm not sure it's there now. I'm not sure we know how to parse that data right now, but I do think it will be a big driver in the future.
Right, and I think we also need to get back to that reality of what one of those principles that Tim O'Reilly shares about how if you can't be the owner of the data, be the indexer of the data, be the right company that figures out how to use the data. And I think it's those companies that are doing that now that are going to be the winners down the road. So yes, this is sort of a future trend, but it's the data is being gathered even as we speak.
And the only thing I would ask our listeners to watch for is this term big data. It's being used more and more, and it's a rather nebulous term, and no, there's really no definition on it. But when you hear that term, it probably means to this plethora of information, whether it's spatially related or not, that's coming into and being captured by big databases. The last thing I'll mention before we close, I'm just going to have to jump on the cloud computing bandwagon. I think it's a big driver. I think what we'll be challenged with is how to acquire cloud technology. I don't think people quite understand how to get it, how to evaluate it from the vendors, and it's all rather new at this point. You know, we're seeing new providers come in: Skygon, GIS Cloud, even eSpatial, which has been around for a while. So I would mention that as a huge driver. It's a case where you know it's going to be there. Maybe we just don't know how to acquire it, how to license it, and it's coming. I'll just say that.
I think you're right that it's really not in the now, but it's a coming driver. And the reason I would argue that it is more of a future driver than a current driver is, I think there's an awful lot of organizations still trying to figure out what problem it solves.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think we'll end it there for today. And we would appreciate it if you'd have any comments, because I think this is one of those topics that we're gonna hear more and more about, and we'd appreciate any feedback you can give us. Well, thanks. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Safe Software, asks, feeling confused, disorganized? FME can help. Only FME gives you unlimited flexibility to restructure, reformat, and integrate data in 250 and more formats so you can transform data to use and share. Solve more interoperability headaches more easily with FME. Learn how at askfme.com. A few reminders from Here at Directions. Please check out our channels. These are our new web resources for finding news and trends related to your field of interest. Go to directionsmag.com/channels and bookmark it today. Don't miss our conversation tomorrow with Don Cook. Don was the founder of Geographic Data Technology, which was later purchased by TeleAtlas and then TomTom. Don is now the community maps evangelist for Esri, and I'm sure you won't want to miss his perspective on topics ranging from census data to authoritative data sources. Go to directionsmag.com/webinars to register for free. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is posted. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.